Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
Block somebody!
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and former All-American Cam Cleland.
Tap by Coors Light. Fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Football Friday with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
Take the fight to them.
The Fan.
All right, Football Friday Q&A will continue this hour. The best football Q&A question gets an I'm a Dusty and Cam t-shirt. You can join P1 Corndog in your I'm a Dusty and Cam P1 glory.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of great P1s come through and win. P1 Loaders, Anthony.
He was the first one, I think.
Yeah. We've had Jesse, I think Adam. We've had Sammy. A ton of them. Sam, the mailman, won it. Okay, so we'll have that this hour. One thing I wanted to bring up this week that we haven't talked about before we get to Weekend Would You Rather. Have you seen this story about Maori Davenport, the high school girls basketball player in Alabama?
Yeah, the one who accepted just under $900 to play for Team USA and now is ineligible?
Yes, that is her. She's been ruled ineligible by the Alabama Athletic Association for high schools because she played for Team USA.
Played for a country.
Won a gold medal. And playing in the FIBA World Cup.
What a joke.
And Team USA accidentally sent her a check for $900. Mm-hmm. And she was like, okay. Did what probably any high school kid would do.
Yeah.
Thinking, if Team USA sends it to me, it's probably okay. Yeah. And since she cashed that check, the Alabama Athletic Association has ruled her ineligible. She's one of the nation's top basketball players, girls basketball. And they're refusing to reinstate her. Despite USA Basketball saying it was a mistake, she paid us back, let her play.
What a joke.
Isn't that a joke?
It's an utter joke. Anybody that's on that and stands by that deserves to lose their job immediately.
It's one guy.
Oh, he deserves. There's going to be a witch hunt then.
It's the one guy who runs the Alabama Athletic Association, and he's refusing to do it.
Idiot.
I know.
Loser.
What a joke. That is. All right, let's get to it. Our Weekend Would You Rather, Uncle Buck Edition. What do you got for us, Buck?
We have five categories, as we usually do. The first one, which may even be a repeat category, but it's not a repeat question, is Pick Your Poison. Then we have That's Gonna Be a No For Me Dog from Randy Jackson. Household Chores. We also have The Pitfalls of Divorce and Football Friday Bonus. Where do we want to start, boys?
I'm going to go PYP, Pick Your Poison.
Okay, so this comes to us from a combination of stories. The first one, one you're very familiar with, the double doink of Cody Parkey.
Doink, doink.
There's a Chicago brewery, Goose Island, that has offered citizens a free beer for a year if they can come to the brewery and kick a 43-yard field goal.
How many do you think could do that?
That's a good question.
10 randomites. 10 randoms.
Just random people.
Randoms. Going to head in there. 43 yards. I don't think anybody realized how far 43 yards
is. It's not easy. I think randoms.
One or two.
One or zero. I think zero. If people have been practicing or former kickers or former football players, you might get a couple.
Well, that's different. Randomites. Zero.
I think you may run into a couple soccer players that are out there that may be able to do it.
Yeah.
But here's my question about this. They better not do it at like a local high school. They better think this through because NFL uprights,
they have,
I think, are like 4 or 5 feet more narrow than a high school field.
Yeah, they get narrower at each level, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big difference between that two when you're kicking.
Sure,
that
is.
Just ask Cody Parkey.
Yeah.
That's half of this question. The other is there's a Columbus Blue Jackets player, Artemi Panarin, who the Blue Jackets really want to sign an extension, and there's a local distillery that has told him they'll give him free vodka for life if he re-signs with Columbus.
Let's get a nice little vodka.
So the question here
is, it's a billboard for it.
Heck of a deal.
Would you rather win free beer for a year or free vodka for life?
Oh, vodka for life.
You go for the life.
Are you kidding me, Buck?
Always.
I mean, I'm more of a beer drinker than a vodka drinker.
Yeah, but that's life. Year is a year. Life is life.
No, I understand.
You just give it away as... give it away.
Okay, well...
So many...
If it's that easy, then let's make it life and life. Would you rather have a lifetime of free beer or a lifetime of free vodka?
Is it just that beer and just that vodka, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, but the brewery, I would imagine, has multiple beers.
Multiple beers?
Goose Island.
But I'd probably go with the beer then.
Yeah, I'm a variety guy too.
Yeah. Although you can make a lot of different drinks with vodka.
That's true.
I mean, I'm going through the vodka tonic.
Actually, I'm switching
vodka
back.
Soda.
I'm going vodka.
You can go White Russian. You can go vodka. Greyhound screwdrivers.
Yeah. Plus, it's a great clean liqueur.
Yeah.
Not a lot of calories there.
Yeah, that's what I worry about.
Well, it is. I think about that.
But I do love beer. I'm going vodka. Going vodka. That was really tough.
Cameron,
that's a no, dog.
Oh, that's going to be a no for me, dog. Okay, so you,
Randy Jackson,
may have heard this story of the former LSU offensive lineman who went hunting.
Oh no!
And
incredible.
Apparently, the dog, according to the story, stepped on the safety, taking the safety off, and then stepped on the trigger.
BS.
Shooting
him
in the leg.
Is there something refuting this?
Well, we just aren't sure the safety was actually on.
Huh?
Common sense that a dog somehow stepped on the safety and then pulled the trigger. Look.
It's possible.
This is a scary situation. It is.
You know,
plausible,
the tailgate was probably down.
But here is where, I come into it. It's like,
you're lucky you didn't get shot in the torso.
All right, man. Yeah.
Seriously, or in the head.
My whole thing is.
By the way, why'd you put your loaded shotgun pointing?
That's the thing.
Back
Another
you?
Great question.
I don't think that the safety was on. That's the part.
But
I'm
it doesn't
not
matter. Why is your shotgun loaded as you're putting it in the bed of your truck?
Yeah. Again, don't you have a gun rack?
I don't even have
a gun case.
A gun,
let alone many guns.
A gun
many guns
rack.
To necessitate a gun rack. What are you, mental?
But the question. So this former player ended up actually losing his leg because of the incident. But
hit
my question is,
artery.
If you knew that you would not die, or in the alternate scenario, your dog would not die, would you rather have your dog accidentally shoot you, or would you rather accidentally shoot your dog?
I accidentally want to shoot my dog. I don't want to be shot.
I don't want to be shot either,
I don't want to shoot anybody.
I don't think I could shoot my dog.
I don't want
to shoot your best friend.
We said accidentally. It's not on purpose. Know. But if there was an accident, I think I would probably be like, okay, I don't want to be shot.
Okay.
If it was an accident.
What if your dog dies? Like, you're guaranteed to live.
That's not the would you rather. That's different.
Okay. This is a different. Can't die. You
your
can't
dog
die
can't
either.
Die, Dusty. Don't Nobody change what die. You're trying to do. Here.
But would it change it if the dog died?
No, that's not the question. It's a different question. Stay on
I still
track.
Think you'd shoot the dog.
No, I would not. That's not the point. We're talking about one question here.
Yeah, I'm going with the dog too.
I don't think I can.
Well,
I think I take.
What's your
dog's
name
again? Doing it on purpose.
Posey. Oh my! Of course it's Posey.
Yeah, little right. Buster's not going to get shot
Buster.
On purpose.
It's not
Buster's
on purpose.
Bust
this is
a cap
an
me.
Accident.
You're going. Oh, sorry, Posey. Shot your tail off.
And it could be a BB gun. So it's a BB gun. A little flesh wound.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean BB gun in this scenario.
Could you imagine the type? Never mind.
Anyway.
Not going to go there. Okay.
All right, household chores, pitfalls of divorce, or football Friday bonus?
Pitfalls of divorce.
Okay, so this comes to us, and we haven't really gotten to this. I'm sure we will about Mr. Jeff Bezos. But he is going to get divorced. He's having an affair, and as we learned yesterday, it included some racy pictures of his own genitals. So the question here... is
yeah there's pics now that are involved in the Bezos divorce.
Yeah,
he's
ween pics.
Yes, he did.
Wait a minute, that thing you showed me this morning, I thought that
no,
was
no,
a
no,
joke.
No. Okay, no, wait.
Well, it was a joke.
Hold on,
wait a minute.
What do you think? What does yours look like if you think that was
no. I no, know no, that part was a joke.
He didn't realize that was based off of a joke.
I didn't
on a real
know
thing.
It was based off of a report. I thought it was just some gift somebody put together that was funny. You mean to tell me Jeff Bezos
sent a photo of his genitals?
Are you kidding
and
me?
And it got out.
This is from the National Enquirer. What's more...
How do we know it's him, though?
Here we go. What's more is the horn dog e-commerce mogul even sent Sanchez a below-the-belt selfie, otherwise colloquially known as a D-pick.
How do you know?
In an unsparring close-up that's too explicit to describe in detail.
How do we know it's him?
We're going to assume it is for the sake of this would you rather.
Okay, all right.
And the question is, would you rather cede half of your net worth in a divorce or rather have the entire world see a photo of your genitals?
Am I Jeff Bezos?
Yep.
Oh, God.
Then I'm going with the divorce money.
No, you're you.
Kidding
you're
me?
You. You're you.
Oh.
So wait a minute. What's the would you rather? I get to show off the D and I keep $66 million?
Dude, I'd probably go
no,
with
no,
the
no.
D pick.
It's you. You got to give up half of your net worth or have the whole world see...
Nah. My whole, here's my deal.
I don't care what anybody
says. I can recover from the D pick.
I don't really care.
I don't know if you can recover from half of my money going away. So I'm going to go with the D pick.
But if I'm Jeff Bezos and half my money's gone, I got no problems with $66 billion.
Exactly.
But if I personally don't want anything out there. See, and that, I really don't care because it's just we all have something. Like the every other person has the same stuff I have. It's just in different shapes.
Right.
And sizes. I don't really care. So what are we what are you hiding behind?
Exactly.
This is the way we come. It's a big deal about it.
I'm nothing to be ashamed about.
Right. Hang on to your money, huh?
I'm going with the pick. Yeah, I'm hanging on to the money.
I worked hard for both.
It does change, though.
You worked for one of them?
I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Again, what does yours look like?
Why do you want? That's not the point here.
There's a lot.
Get off the track of wanting to look. Get off
it's
that.
It's just.
Here.
I mean, you've made some pretty leading comments here that make me just go, wow.
No, these are legitimate things. We all got it there.
But if you are Bezos, you probably don't want the pick out there, so you just take, all right, I'll take $68.5 billion.
That's a big Twinkie.
Yeah. You know? All right.
On to household chores. This stems from a discussion
we had. How'd you know that's
what
Cam was going to choose?
Yeah, how'd you know?
Well, I'm just going to finish with the Football Friday bonus.
Okay, all right. You take control.
We had a conversation yesterday about household chores and the division of labor in a marriage. The question here is, would you rather do all the dishes for all eternity or all the laundry for all eternity?
I'd rather do all the laundry for all of eternity.
All of eternity.
Dishes suck, man.
Yeah, but there's a dishwasher. All I got to do is put them in the dishwasher. I'm dishes. Because the step really is simple. In the sink, quick rinse, in the dishwasher. Laundry, soap, laundry, fold, replay. Dishes.
No, you
dishes.
Just throw it in. The folding dishes. is the tedious part of laundry for me.
Folding.
But I dishes. Don't mind it. You know, throw on show, do it during it.
Yeah, I would rather do the folding than like the big pots and pan hand dishes.
Also, I could just get takeout, man. Don't have to do dishes ever.
That's it. You know, you could always avoid the dishes if you needed to.
Right, and I could just get throwaway dishware.
You could also just buy new clothes every time you need something to wear.
There's ways around this.
All right, your Football Friday bonus as we wrap this up. In these NFL playoffs, would you rather have the most dominant offense or the most dominant defense?
One more time.
In these playoffs in the year 2019, would you rather have the most dominant defense in the playoffs or the most dominant offense in the playoffs?
I'll take the offense, Bob.
And I'm going to contradict what Dusty said. I'm going to pick the defense.
Mm. Okay.
No, it goes against kind of what I've been talking about, but my gut always will lean towards, even with the rule changes, put it so hard on defense, make it very difficult. If I can find a way at some point to stop a team in the red zone, like how many times did Clemson shut down Alabama in the red zone?
Yeah.
Their defense did win that game, and it was great
offense.
They
had the most dominant offense in the country heading into that game.
It feels like a defensive stop is just so demoralizing.
Oh, it's emotionally demoralizing.
But
especially if you go for it on fourth down. You can't get 1 foot in your defense, and you shut down throws.
And then
they're
you don't know
to
when you're
going to
get it back.
Right in the secondary, knocks a ball down, or they get a pick, and it's just, you get a pick six. It just, it shreds you emotionally.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just going offense, so. Hey, good Football Friday Q&A's the last couple of weeks, Buck. All right.
Thanks.
Textual relations, football Q&A. You got football questions. We got football answers. We will get to those next. The best question this hour gets an I'm a Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right. We were talking about LaMarcus Aldridge. 56 points in that double overtime win. 0 3-point attempts. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, Karl Malone, and Shaquille O'Neal have all scored 61 points without attempting a three-pointer. Think about this, how incredible Michael Jordan was. He has 7 career games of 50 points or more without attempting a three-point
shot. Did he have his 63 versus Boston in the playoff? Did he attempt a three?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
But he has, 7 of them from a guard, having 7 of those games without shooting a three is incredible.
Right, it's incredible.
But with when you think of LaMarcus Aldridge last night, the last person to do to have a 50-point game without attempting a three-pointer was Jermaine O'Neal.
Really?
Would you like to guess what year that was?
Was he playing for Indy?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Buck, would you like to take a guess on what year it was?
2006.
Close.
I have no idea.
2005. January 4th of 2005 was the last time a player in the NBA scored 50 points or more without attempting a three-pointer. and LaMarcus did it last night. So congrats.
Yeah.
All right, Football Friday Q&A. We do it every single Friday at this time. P1 Corn Dog won a I'm a Dustin Cam P1 t-shirt in the 6 a.m. hour, and we'll be giving away one this hour as well. Here's one. If Andy Reid wins a Super Bowl, does his being part of the coaching tree become more valuable than potentially McVay currently being used as a prevailing way forward? That from Jake. So you know how Andy Reid and Sean McVay are two super hot names in the coaching tree world.
Yeah.
If Reid finally gets over the hump, wins the Super Bowl, does his tree become more powerful? Do you think?
I think it's at its peak right now. I think it's very, very powerful, but... Yeah, if you think about some of the guys that are under it currently on his roster, I know Eric Bieniemy was getting a ton of interviews. Yeah. He didn't get hired.
Well, he could. I mean, Chris Richard is rumored in Miami. As you could have Bieniemy go down
you
there.
You could. There's still two jobs open right now. You still have Cincinnati and you still have Miami. So what does that mean?
Cincinnati apparently is Zach Taylor from
LA. But not official.
LA, yeah.
But not official.
Right.
But these are things that, yeah, I do think it's going to make it massively more valuable, because when you do get over the hump and win a championship, it means more, because everybody wants a taste of how'd you do it. Mm-hmm. That's what the league does. How did you get there? Well, Sean McVay hasn't got there yet, so I still believe Andy Reid's tree is the ceiling is quite a bit higher.
So I have a question for you guys about the playoffs specifically, and really mm-hmm. for you, Cam. I feel like there are a number of things, I actually made a list, that everyone wants to point to as being crucial in the playoffs. Home field advantage, the bye to get health, rest, preparation, having a superior head coach, having a superior quarterback, having a superior defense, and then the last one being the weather as an impact. Of those six things, what has the biggest impact on this round?
Man, I would say the superior quarterback. The way we coach football and the way you get to see it. I mean, head coach would be number two, and then home field.
What about the bye and the extra prep?
I don't think the bye really depends on, you can gain a lot of experience and a lot of confidence from winning a wild card football game, and you can ride that into the next, especially if you stay healthy. And a lot of the teams are healthy right now. You're not losing. I know Eric Berry is reported with Kansas City that he wasn't at practice yesterday. Don't know what his future holds, but they're probably the team that are you most concerned. But it's always going to be your quarterback play is going to carry you to that next level. In the playoffs, defense and quarterback. So I would go quarterback, head coach, if I was ranking them, and then home field.
Yeah. Well, in home field home field's definitely behind those other ones that you said. But with New Orleans, that is so much bigger than, for some teams, it's way higher than others. And, like, New Orleans is huge.
Oh, it's everything.
New England in January is huge.
If you're smart in the NFL, it's what college football does. It's blatantly obvious because college football is such a far separation from the NFL, but they build it the same way. Let me explain it very quickly. The Pac-12, you should always build to win your conference, okay? The SEC is built to win their conference. Alabama builds to win your conference because it gets you to the elite level. Same way in the NFL. New Orleans is perfectly built because they have 8 games in a dome. They play Atlanta in a dome. They go outside for 2 games a year. They go to Tampa, and then they go to Carolina. So they're built for the speed of climate control, precision passing, speed on the run game. If you build that, if let's just say I win 8 to 9 games every year, but I can take care of my home field advantage of winning at home, you're already ahead of the game in the NFL. You can get 8, 9 wins every year. You're going to be in conversations because you'll win a few more on the road. Seattle wins because they build to be built outside, and they can win late in the season because it's a tough place to play. Just like New England. You build to win your division. That's why Miami can't find a way to win. They're not built to win their division. They're built to win in the sun. They can't win late in the season, and they can't win in the playoffs because they don't know how it is to go to cold weather because they can't win their dang division.
The Saints only played 3 road games this year that were outdoors.
Yeah.
And they played in New York in September.
Right.
November in Cincy and Tampa in December.
And that's what makes teams like Green Bay.
Oh, excuse me, 4 times. Baltimore,
too. That's what makes teams like Green Bay so impressive is that they're an outdoor team, but they have who? The Bears outdoor, but they have 2 indoor teams that they play. And when you wonder why Minnesota and Detroit can't get out of their own way, because they got to go outside late in the year and they have their home games, and they're like, gosh, dang it, we can't find a way. And then Green Bay just does it because they have better quarterback play. Find ways to win your division is how you should always build your franchise to start. After that, you got to get a little bit lucky.
Yeah. Here is one that we will answer on the other side because I like this question here. What's the bigger possible storyline if the Chargers win this weekend? Philip Rivers getting a chance to go to the Super Bowl for the first time. If the Colts win, the Chargers having a chance to host the AFC Championship game in a 28,000-seat stadium. 55305 is the better you today text line. Your football Q&A. We'll get the answers to that question after Buck with SportsCenter. All right, we got questions on the text line. Football Q&A, baby! You got football questions, we got football answers. What's a bigger possible storyline if the Chargers win this weekend? Rivers getting a chance to go to the Super Bowl for the first time, or if the Colts win, the Chargers would have a chance to host the AFC Championship game in a $28,000 soccer stadium? That text from P1 Ryan coming in. We left you with that. What's the
bigger
answer?
Story.
I think it's the soccer stadium, to be honest. Heading into the AFC Championship week.
The NFL does not want that.
No, they don't. And it will be a story.
Yeah, it's a big story. But it's not the story that they want. Bigger or more negative? Would it be detrimental? These are all fair questions to sit there and tell you. Can I see it happening? Yeah, it could be. That's a tough question.
The other storyline I'd be interested in is how well do Colts fans travel? I feel like we've seen most of those Chargers games be totally dominated by the away team, but I don't feel like Indy's one of those fan bases. So
would they not have
the Chargers
a big,
actually get a pro Charger crowd?
They wouldn't have a big foothold in
it's LA,
baby.
Right. It's LA. You're going to get the fans would come out of the woodwork.
Yeah,
the bandwagon would just get on.
Front-running Charger fans.
Like the first time all season that it's a pro Chargers crowd.
It was a big Christmas for Charger fans in LA. Meaning they just finally got Charger gear for the first time because that's a front-running city.
Oh, that'd be interesting to look at the apparel and the amount of uniforms sold things that have changed.
I bet the Rams, because the Rams are hot too.
Yeah, they're very hot.
And they are what everybody loves right now down in LA, but I bet that a lot of Chargers gear was sold too. All right, 55305. Here's another one too. If the Chargers win and the Rams lose coming out of that too, the conversation of the Sean McVay coaching tree and all the hype that went into the Rams is just going to solely be focused on the Chargers. And people are going to melt down over Sean McVay can't win the big one, bounced in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, if it happens two times in a row.
What's his coaching tree look like now?
Is it more on Sean McVay or is it more about Jared Goff? Because Jared Goff melted down last year.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Because Atlanta took him to the woodshed and embarrassed it.
Football Q&A, 55305, send your text in. You can win an I'm a Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt. With the way transfers are going, would you guys stop recruiting quarterbacks and go for transfers? No. That from Bryce.
No.
Never.
Never. Ever. You're never going to stop because you get guys like Trevor Lawrence, who just is a freshman and is 19 and is unbelievable. Those guys are always going to be the quarterback play for the next 10 years. The kids that are now, think about this, kids that are 11, 12 years old, in about 5-6 years, they're going to be national championship quarterbacks. And they watched Trevor Lawrence and they watched those guys. And they're in these 7-on-7 things for them. They're good for that. That's good for that. It's not good for any other thing.
Interesting thing about that for me, though, is I feel like once you go down that transfer road, it's almost hard to then revert back to your like normal pipeline of re-grooming. I mean, we saw it happen with Oregon where they went with Vernon Adams. And then it makes like the cupboard a little bit more bare in recruiting as they're like, well, I could come here and they could just go for a transfer guy. I mean, Justin Herbert ultimately got his shot because Dakota Prukop couldn't hang.
And there's a double-edged sword with this too, because once you start getting transfers and you start, and then you see Trevor Lawrence on the other side and you see Tua and you see freshmen coming in and playing and starting right away. Now you have guys that immediately are saying, well, I deserve to start too. So you're going to have younger players that are saying, I want to go where I can play. They're not willing to sit.
Well, and they're, yes, absolutely that.
Does that spread the talent out more, though?
I mean,
I hope so.
If you have a quarterback or a system that you need time to let them grow and to adapt to it. Mike Leach, you mentioned the kid from Utah that they recruited last year.
Yeah.
True freshman. Like, when you're 18 years old and you're trying to step into Mike Leach's system, it's hard to wrap your head around. For Gardner Minshew, he had a history with it, same terminology at East Carolina. You can use a guy like that for a Band-Aid. You should always be looking at it for a Band-Aid or a bridge to your next four-year guy.
Sure. And a lot of these kids now are early enrolling. I mean, I know I can't imagine how many that early enrolled already at Oregon. I know some of them have. And six. Washington had eight. They had eight guys of their class early enroll already this quarter. It's just part of the norm. So they're getting them into it faster, understanding it quicker. It is get them going, because you don't take advantage of that 3 years. That 3 years seems like it's a long time. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It goes fast.
Okay, 55305, the Better You Today text line. We've got football Q&A happening right now on the Better You Today text line. With such a young mix of quarterbacks in this playoffs, some young, some old but inexperienced guys, does playoff experience matter as much as it does?
Oh,
or
yes.
Do veterans like Brady, Breeze, and Rivers dominate? What is better this weekend, experienced or young talent? P1 Air Force Zach with the question.
I kind of said it earlier. Experience. Always go with the veteran. It doesn't, and exceptions, and just like I had that question because I was talking about dome teams, and when it came in on Better You Day text line about how, with that theory of dome teams and being billed to win your division, how are the Chargers doing that? Exceptions don't prove rules. One-offs happen all the time in the NFL, but the overarching factor of all winning playoff games is experience.
Yeah.
You have to be able to know what it's like to be in that feeling and see those types of things and see. I mean, Brady and those guys that have seen everything for years and years and years. Can you imagine what Drew Brees has processed with the things that he's seen? Do you think you're going to fool him?
And with what you were saying, you were talking about these teams like Miami has to go up to Buffalo, New England, and New York, right?
Cold, and colder.
The Vikings and Lions have to go outside to Chicago and Green Bay, right? Yeah. Going from indoor to outdoor. For the LA Chargers, like, they have to go to what will be Vegas and then
Seattle.
Denver and
the Chargers,
Kansas City, you know? Well, the Rams too. Rams will have San Francisco, Arizona, and then Seattle. I mean, those are more temperate climates in Denver and Kansas City, but it's not like you're talking the extremes that you see in those other ones.
One seeds for cold weather teams is critical, and I could say that about one seeds for warm. The only way Miami is ever going to get to a Super Bowl is if they get a number one seed.
Yeah, that's very true. And with the quarterbacks question that we got here, what I think is interesting about this week is that you have career arcs kind of matching up in all of these games. Mm-hmm. Luck and Mahomes still early in their career, but this is comeback year for Luck. Right. Essentially, it's his first time he's played in over 3 years in the playoffs. Dak and Goff, inexperienced, still got a lot to prove in the playoffs.
Yeah, but Andrew Luck's got a couple AFC championship games behind his belt.
No, I know, but I'm still moving on here. You've got the Rivers Brady, two old guys that are experienced in this thing. And then you've got Breeze and Foles, two experienced and older quarterbacks as well, who've made playoff runs. Like, your career arcs are kind of relatively the same, with Luck being a little bit ahead of Mahomes, but coming off of a massive injury and a brand new team, essentially, he's playing with.
I think Patrick Mahomes has got a shot to change all of our perspectives if he can come in and really play like a guy that's been around a long time. We've seen rookies do that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a rookie. He's a second-year quarterback. I mean, Russell Wilson did it. I mean, he did it behind a great, great defense and a really good running back. But ever since that, I mean, towards the end of the season, the Chiefs have been leaked a little bit of oil, and that's going to happen.
Saturday, your games are the quarterback's best football is ahead of them.
Yeah.
And Sunday, it's like the best football that they've ever played, maybe behind them. And in the rearview mirror, we have Brady, Breeze, Rivers, and then Nick Foles. I don't know if you can get much better than what he did last year, unless he beats New Orleans this year. 55305, the Better You Today text line. What about the storyline of Drew Brees versus Philip Rivers in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that would be great.
My God. Well, you got the old team. You know, they drafted Rivers. You took over for Brees. They seem to get along and have a cordial relationship between the two of them still.
Well, why would you be mad at Drew? Why would Drew Brees be mad at Philip Rivers?
He's not. The competitor
side. All he's done is gone on and won a Super Bowl and his Hall of Fame career. And changed a whole region of people by doing the things along with Sean Payton.
Ooh, I like this one from Mike. What's the storyline the NFL is most hoping to come from this weekend's game? What would the NFL want the most?
I think the NFL wants the most. This is my own personal opinion. I think the NFL wants the most for Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl. Personally,
ooh.
What's the most important thing for the NFL is that a guy that's done nothing but put in and develop coaches. Andy Reid has done so much for the game, mm-hmm. all coming from Bill Walsh. But think about all the head coaches, the players, the people. Nobody has bad things to say about Andy Reid. He's a great man, and he deserves a Super Bowl. But just because you deserve it doesn't mean you've earned it. So I think that's the biggest thing that the NFL would like to see.
If you're, I think what the NFL, if you're looking at the storylines that they want out of this weekend with the two potential matchups that you could have in the championship games, I think that they, if they had their druthers, it would be Chiefs, Patriots in the AFC championship game mm-hmm. because you have big brands
yep.
Playing in there. And like in Colts, they wouldn't knock that brand at all.
No.
But because of what you just said about Andy
better
Reid.
Better story.
And Patrick Mahomes, more electric, marketable guy. And then in the NFC, I think they want New Orleans and Dallas. I mean, LA would
brands.
Be great.
It's America's team.
But you want Dallas, you want New Orleans, because not only mm-hmm. do you have the two big brands, you have Peyton in Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, that's always been the storyline there.
Superdome.
He'd be in the Superdome. Drew Brees.
Get you excited. That's what I'm saying. There's not a matchup right now where I'm looking at going, oh, that'd be kind of a turd burger. But probably maybe it's the Chargers and Colts.
Chargers, Colts. And
in
then,
the soccer stadium. That's a turd.
They had Chargers, Colts. And then anyway it happens in the NFL, I think the NFL or in the NFC, the NFL will be happy. Whether you get Rams, Eagles, Rams, Saints. I mean, Rams, Saints, maybe number two with what yeah. they want.
And side note from the Better Utility text line, I don't think that the Cowboys are America's team. That drives me insane. I hate that crap.
They tried to give it to the Steelers.
I hate that crap.
And the Steelers turned down the moniker. NFL yeah. Films came up with it.
Right.
And they tried to give it to the Steelers. Steelers said no. And
but you can't argue that the Cowboys are the most biggest brand in of the NFL. I mean, they're worth the most.
Yeah. True that. Okay, 55305. We'll get you a winner of a football Q&A for hour number three today. If you got one, maybe send it in. Last minute, the buzzer's about to tick. 844 on the Fan. All righty. We're hitting there, baby. You got one more workday. We're done. We're heading to the weekend for most of us. So let's work for the weekend today. Everybody's working for the weekend. All right. Football Friday Q&A. We're getting we got some good questions in today. Some thought provokers, don't you believe?
Yeah, I agree. Every Friday's been great. You got questions?
We got answers. This is going to be a great... This text, too. The Colts have over $100 million in cap space and 9 draft picks. Mm-hmm. Is it time to jump on that bandwagon for the 2019-2020 season? No. Moving forward, it's amazing what Chris Ballard's been able to do in such a short time in Indy. Because they're stocked and they're loaded for the future, too.
I like
the quarterback being back is very helpful.
Do we have a winner?
I jump on that bandwagon.
I have a winner.
You do?
I do.
All right. Who is it?
I like Mr. Air Force One, Air Force Zach.
What?
My Air Force Ones.
Oh.
Air Force Zach. He had such a great mix of young quarterbacks yeah. in the playoffs. Does experience matter?
All right. Air Force Zach, you win, dude. That was a good question. He was one of my front runners for that.
Yeah.
As I said, we did have a lot of good ones that came in on the Better You Today text line in both hour number one and hour number three here, because I think playoff time, it brings out so many more storylines and angles that people, mm-hmm. when there's fewer and fewer games, we get to learn more and more about the teams, you know, right. as we're going into it. And that's where the Super Bowl week, it'll just pound you over the head with the same stuff.
Can I poo-poo something just for real quick about that?
No.
I really can't stand the montages. The storyline jargon that is made up by media to try to make the sob stories and the connection to the game.
I'm not talking about that stuff.
I don't want to cry. This is football. I mean, selfishly, come playoff time, I want the dudes to get after it. I don't need to hear about Brady and Breeze and the connection between Peyton and Tom, who, like, how many times, more narratives. I just want to watch these guys get after it.
No, I'm talking about the stuff like the building of construction of rosters and that
yeah.
when these teams kind of meet up in the playoffs, they start to build to beat one another. You know, like there is a goal of the pass rush and the way that the Chargers were built to beat teams like New England, to beat Tom Brady, because they knew if they were to get to the Super Bowl, they needed to get through New England.
But how bad is the NFC or the AFC East for all those years have not found a way to beat the Patriots? You have not found a way. Nobody has found a way to win that division at all whatsoever.
Well, the Jets did it. Or no, Miami Dolphins did it once.
Yeah, you know what year they did it?
2009?
The dang year I was there, 2002.
Oh, yeah, that happened too.
Yeah, and they also did that later. But that was Matt Castle's fault. All they went was 11-5.
Yeah, they only went 11-5 and lost a division.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you're right. It's because they do stupid things like what the Jets just did.
Oh, hire Adam Gase?
Yeah, who didn't make it in Miami. Like,
I told you why
division.
He didn't make it. Adam Gase is going to work better at the Jets than he will in Miami. Hands down.
I saw a quote.
Can't win in Miami,
Sam
folks.
Darnold.
Can't do it. Not along with the Patriots. Can't be a warm weather team in that division. Not going to happen.
Well, here's the one thing that they did, though. The only thing that the Miami Dolphins did well was beat the Patriots under Adam Gase.
At their place.
I did.
Late in the season.
Isn't that crazy?
No, it's not, because it works. It just works.
Over and over again, though.
I know,
and
but it doesn't
most
get
of them weren't late in the year. Like the majority of those have been at the beginning of the year where it's mm-hmm. still hot and humid down there. But did you see the... Did you see the Sam Darnold cut on, or his quote on having Adam Gase as his head coach?
No. What did he say?
It was like, well, to win in football, you have to score more points than the other team. And I look forward to scoring a lot of points. That's going to be fun.
Oh, is that the idea?
It's a great, great quote. You got to stop the other team from scoring, and you have to score more. I'm going to leave you with this Friday.
That
would
was
you
on, that was on SportsCenter, and I just went, yeah. Did he just John Madden us?
That reminds me of, do you remember that Chip Kelly sideline bite with Riley Cooper where Riley Cooper goes, oh, what's the plan? And Chip goes, he drops an F-bomb and he goes, score points, what's your plan?
Yeah.
That's kind of like our football Friday would you rather that you had, defense or offense. So would you rather want to score more? Always, would you rather want to score more?
Yeah.
It's kind of a blatantly obvious question, wouldn't you?
That was my favorite John Madden moment when I was a kid, and I remember watching a game, and he and Pat Summerall, you got to score more points to win the game.
Oh. Blew your mind right there.
Okay, John. Thanks for that insight there. But yeah, Sam Darnold feels really, really, really good. This text, though, good point. But to be fair, who has figured the Pats out?
Well, the Broncos beat him. The Jets beat him. The Giants beat them.
But nobody's been able to do it consistently.
The Eagles beat them.
Well, the Jets did it in the playoffs, so isn't that doing it to win?
Yeah.
You know, you don't win the division.
They're not
but you win
unbeatable.
The playoffs.
It's just they're sustainable. They're the only team that just can constantly, it's like that I think it just keeps coming back. You're like, God, they're back again. I can't get rid of them.
You say this a lot, though. You say this a lot in football, and this is one of the toughest things in professional sports, is you mentioned like credibility. You know, where's the credibility there?
Yes,
in a lot of these things.
Right.
The hardest part in sports is to get a coach with credibility, right?
Sure.
Because it takes credibility to get buy-in from your team and from your roster.
It's chicken or the egg.
But how do you get that? By winning. And so that's why we talk about these coaching trees, and why do you chase the Sean McVays? Why do you chase the Andy Reid guys? Why do you chase Bill Belichick's assistant coaches if they don't win? Right. It's because you're bringing a guy in that has a level of credibility because he's seen it done, and he's seen it done at the highest level. That's why we have all these coaches, and that's why we see retreads too.
Yeah,
it's because Jeff Fisher gets jobs because he went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he didn't win, but he didn't get an offer. And by the way, from your text, better you today, Miami does have a Super Bowl win in 1972.
Hey, but they didn't lose a game.
1972.
Mercury Morris still partying.
Larry Zonka? No, Larry Zonka wasn't on that team. Yeah, he was, right?
I don't know. I don't like it when you do that, because then you make me second guess. Like, you Brady Henderson me. Remember when Brady came on?
You can't. That's like talking to when Joe Namath won the Super Bowl for the Jets.
Well, hey,
that doesn't translate to today's football.
Whoa,
hello?
Blazers, NBA champs.
1977. Hello? It's a different game. Completely different game.
No. No, let's put Brian Greasy, wait, Bob Greasy on the field and
let's see how that works out for you.
Yeah. All right, up next is the Herd of Conqueror, 9 to noon. Noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Sick. We'll be back Monday to recap the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Have a great weekend, everybody.